I've always been concerned about the kind of content that I bring into my work. But when I was doing these enormous charcoal drawings or doing large ink drawings, but this past 8 years has given me a chance to really focus in a more, what do I want to say here, less esoteric and more street level. I think that's right. I think I said that right. I want it to be relatable in a very specific way, and I think a lot of it is.
That is artist and writer Lou Ferrari. His art exhibit, The Internal Affairs of Mr. Invincible, is a series of more than 100 drawings, created primarily on the editorial sections of the New York Times.
It began in 2010, and it began as a curiosity. I had spent a very difficult weekend, and a lot of anxiety resulted in a whole series of drawings all over these newspapers that I had in front of me at the kitchen table while I was dealing with business on the phone. And over a couple of, it was actually 3 days, I had collected a whole lot of, you know, you might call them doodles. They were drawings. I ended up cutting out fragments of what I had done because I was so intrigued by it. And I stuffed an envelope with all of these fragments of these drawings, thinking that I had done something. I wasn't sure what it was. I didn't know where it was going to go, but I needed to save it for future reference. And I guess I responded pretty quickly over the next few weeks to that particular weekend because I started strictly drawing on the pages of newspaper, and specifically the New York Times and mostly the editorial pages. And here I am. It's 2018, and to my surprise, I'm still doing it. I'm still attracted to it, and it still offers me all kinds of possibilities. And the show itself, I think there's about 120 drawings in the exhibition. And I like to think that it's a continuum. All of the drawings are part of a narrative. It's almost like a different kind of graphic novel. And I think that for the audience to come in and look at them and also be able to select the 25 drawings that I've chosen to specifically write about in this show, I just think it's a different kind of experience for a gallery goer.
Of this large body of work, you chose 25 that you've written an essay accompanying them, and they've also been made into something that a person could buy and have in their permanent collection. How did you choose those 25?
It was pretty remarkable, actually. I had three different meetings with three different groups of people who came to my studio, and there were probably over maybe 200 drawings to choose from. And so I had boxes with my drawings, and I just pulled out the boxes, and I pulled out the drawings, and I stacked them up. And then just one at a time, I would lay it down, and the people who were there, they would do thumbs up or thumbs down. There were usually three people, and if two people said yes, then it went on to what would maybe be the next round. If two people said no, it was out, no matter what I thought. And gradually, from the 200 drawings, it got down to 50. And then they had to whittle it down from 50 to 25. And the reason it had to be 25 was because of State Arts Board grant that I received that would fund this project of reproducing these drawings. So that's what happened. It was three different groups. In the end of the 25, I'd say 15 maybe were pretty universally chosen. 10, I just chose them because I felt like they added to the content of the whole narrative that I wanted to bring to the audience. And when this came along, it just was a natural progression that I wanted to put words to the drawings just because, maybe it's because having had so many years teaching and wanting to give language to art, that I felt like I could do that with my own art as well and just make it more concrete for people.
Yeah. Could you remember when you looked through all of your pieces, what was it, what was going on in your mind?
I can. If you ask me about any drawing that's on that wall, I can pretty much tell you, what the source was, where it came from, what the process was. I have this odd kind of thing that, like with old students of mine, I might not recognize the person exactly, but they tell me their name and the name sounds familiar, and then I can see the work that they did. I can picture it. With my own work, I can do that. I do remember pretty much what every drawing, how it evolved, and what the process was.
Yeah, it's part of your language.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
That is Lou Ferrari. He is a mixed media artist who, after graduating from Bemidji State University, went on to get his MFA at the University of Oregon. He's a two-time recipient of a Minnesota State Arts Board grant. He was faculty at Hamline University, Metro State University, and the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. And he's written three books, the one that evolved from his current exhibit, The Internal Affairs of Mr. Invincible, Ostrich Logic, and So Long, Betty and Veronica. He lives in St. Paul, and his current show, The Internal Affairs of Mr. Invincible, is a collection of 120 works of art created on the editorial sections of the New York Times. You talked about how this started kind of a continuum of a narrative. When you draw on the New York Times, is there an active thought process, or does it just kind of happen? And how much does what's on the page, what words are on the page, play with what's happening in your head?
That actually goes both ways, but most of the time I begin without a particular sense of what I want to do. But sometimes I'll bounce off of an editorial headline, and it'll clue me into the direction to go in. And I'll take that direction and see where it goes, but often it changes midstream, and I suddenly realized that the drawing is about something else. Well, the headline remains, and the drawing goes in its own way. So a lot of the drawings in the show are drawings that do relate specifically to the headlines, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes the headline excites another idea or another path to go in. And so I'll take that path. I have found myself at times going in a certain direction related to what's on the newspaper, and I get so engrossed in the drawing that I absentmindedly, actually is what it is, draw over the headline. So I cover up my initial impetus. And then when I do, I realize, okay, this drawing is on its own now. And then I just go to see what direction it will take. And sometimes a drawing will resolve pretty quickly. For me, quickly means maybe 3 days.
Okay.
And sometimes it will take much longer. Most of the time, I'm working on 3 or 4 or 5 at the same time. So I'll bounce back and forth between drawings. And sometimes what I'm doing in one drawing informs an idea that I have for another drawing. And so the question you might say, how do you know when you're finished? I can't really speak to that other than to say there is actually a point where I think this feels right and it's done. It's all part of this amazing process that I've become very comfortable with. And it's very random, but I'm also looking for things that are concrete. It's a juggling act.
I was reading about you, of course, getting ready for this, reading about when you were selling animal prints. Clearly, this work is a lot different than a realistic animal drawing.
Yep.
Could you talk a little bit about how your style has morphed?
Truth is that while I was doing those animal drawings and exhibiting the prints from those drawings, I was also doing abstract work. I've always drawn in abstract ways.
Okay.
But it seemed like for many years, the animal drawings, which were very realistic, just dominated. And when that series ended, it opened up the door for me to really focus on the series that I had already started. And curiously, I still incorporate animals and birds in an awful lot of my abstract drawings. So there's a connection there in terms of ideas, but not necessarily in terms of the style that the drawings are done.
I don't know if this is intentional or if it's just my brain, but it seemed like I saw a lot of repetitive themes, animals, like you already mentioned, and human hearts.
Yeah, that's true. Health.
Is,
you know, a theme that you might use to, that covers the whole series has to do with this idea about the details of everyday living. And the details of everyday living often include medical issues. And I think, you know, we all have some kind of medical issue, from a cold that won't go away to something like open heart surgery, which I have had. And I know that that experience has played out in many of my drawings. And I've been through cancer, too. And there's a lot of issues that have arose through the treatment and through the process that also find their way into the drawings. There is one drawing, a more recent one that you may remember, called Vital Signs. I was surprised myself by this drawing. And if you look at it carefully, it's clearly what it's like to spend day after day in the hospital. But it's also kind of funny. I think that's true for a lot of my work. I mean, I hope that it's not taken all as a, I don't want to be maudlin in the work that I do. I think I bring a sense of humor to a lot of it. And I think, you know, it's easy to see that.
One of the pieces, yeah, is a face-to-face of you and your brother.
My brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law. Okay,
yeah.
So that,
yeah,
personally struck a chord with me, and I think it would with lots of people this day and age, just where things are at politically.
Volatility.
Yeah.
It's just below the surface. And in fact, that drawing, I started that drawing the very day, that night. I was so blown away by the fact that this thing had happened between us, that I just sat down. I knew that I was going to draw these two heads facing each other. I didn't know how everything else was going to play out. But again, you know, it just unfolded for me as I drew. Yeah. That drawing, for some reason, that drawing seems to resonate with a lot of people.
A common thread between us humans.
Yeah, that's what I look for, the details of everyday living. You know, Katie, if you go through the drawings, you'll see repeated motifs. Like, for example, you'll see fishing bobbers. And so people will say, what's that about? And I don't know for sure, other than to say that there's something about that object that I find it to be soothing. And I think it just relates to when I was a kid and fishing and watching that bobber on a lovely day. You know, nothing going on, just hanging out by the lake, sitting on the pier, you know, looking for sunnies or whatever we were going for. And those bobbers were always out there. And so now here it is all these years later, and it appears in a lot of my drawings. And tools also, Katie. You know, I find I can advance a narrative in a drawing by incorporating tools that are useful in certain ways.
Art, it does seem to be your language. At what point did you realize, this is me?
Yeah, you know, I think that all artists have initial memories of things that, like a trigger. And for me, I think I was in the fourth grade. I remember being on the living room floor, and I had a Tarzan comic book cover, and I was copying it onto a piece of paper. My parents saw it and went crazy. And it had, you know, that moment affected me. I thought, wow, you mean I'm good at this? And from that point on, I always drew.
That is Lou Ferreri. His exhibit, The Internal Affairs of Mr. Invincible, can be found currently at the Watermark Art Center in Bemidji. His work can also be found at the Minnesota Science Museum and the Library of Congress. Check him out online at louferreri.com or look for him at mnartists.org. That is MN like Minnesota, artists.org. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.
Solo, 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 solo